But it's not a good idea if you ride motorcycles to ride in the heat. And we had decided that we weren't going to ride, and then I got some funny phone call or text message at 8 o'clock in the morning. Are we not riding? Dude, it's going to be hot. But we ended up deciding to ride anyway. A couple of us did. The other guys, they decided they were going to keep their feet in the water. They had more common sense than we did, I think, but it's okay. But as we rode to a destination to eat breakfast, sorry y'all missed it, we started having conversation over breakfast. And see, the guys that ride Harley, they just don't ride Harleys and that's it. We still talk about Jesus and we challenge each other, sometimes more than what we want to, but we still challenge. And I'm still emotional over it. A grown man can't even eat breakfast without crying at a breakfast table in public. It's just ridiculous. But I was, we were sitting there eating breakfast and we were just talking about just God's presence. And the question was asked, when I don't know if it was the question from Aaron or if it was just a comment of something else, but it came up, what is it? Oh, transparency. It was his prayer, his talk with God, and just saying, what is it that you want? Do we have to ask and do something? And this was all stemming from the prayer of Jabez. And I encourage you to get that series if you wasn't here every night. And the more we talked about it, I mean, the more it wore me out yesterday. And then we get phone calls, Debbie's going to ER, his kid's in something, then we got another phone call. I'm like, man alive, it just wasn't meant for us to be riding our motorcycles. And so we had to deal with that and get back to Roanoke in a hurry. But we didn't do over 100. So but I just couldn't stop thinking about it yesterday. And it's still on me today, but my spirit, man, was like, I want to experience the unadulterated presence of God. And when he asked that, I began to think about when God would show himself in the Word. What was taking place. And you know, we have gone so far, and I'm thinking I'm already preaching right now, but we've gone so far in our traditions and in our ways that we think we have to drum up God's presence. We have to start services a certain way. We have to do things a certain way, and because it's what we've been taught and that's just how we've always done it. And that's a saying that I loathe. That's the way we've always done it. Well, the Bible says that the traditions will make the Word, the power of the Word, the power of the gospel of no avail. We rob ourselves of God's presence because of our ways. Because see, the presence of God is here, right? And we've always been taught, and I'm going to go ahead and just teach. If you need a title, buddy, it's the presence of God. There's your title. We'll do a praise and worship song at the end. But David talks to us in Psalms about, I can go to the highest mountain, I can make my bed in the lowest, and you're still there. Man, and we listen to that, and we hear that, and that kind of makes us feel good. But that's not the type of presence that I yearn for. His omnipresence is always. His omnipresence is always. It's everywhere. But there is a presence of God that is spoke of in John, and it talks about the manifest presence of God. See, I don't know about you. I don't want to drink a bottle for the rest of my life. I want to eat some meat. I want to gain a deeper access into who God is and His character and His love. I want to go deeper in that, because I don't want to live a life of complacency that the church has described and has set before us in past generations. So let's just talk about the manifest presence of God. Let's talk about God's presence. And, you know, we were talking, and immediately my mind ran back to Genesis, because anytime you see the first of anything in the Bible, that seed will run all the way through. It's a thread that will go all the way through the Bible. And here we are with Adam and Eve, and them being in this unadulterated manifest presence of God. And I look at, what did they do? You know, what was it? They didn't have church service. They didn't have to have the lights turned down. They didn't have to have the AC turned to a certain temperature so that everybody's nice and comfortable. They didn't have... What kind of donuts did they have out there this morning? They didn't have duck donuts sitting out at the gate. God, this is where I think we found confusion. God set the atmosphere of His presence. Because the Bible says that God created the garden east of Eden. He created the garden. He took, if you can just imagine this, God took all of heaven and all of its glory, pulled it into a vacuum, and set it in one place. See, Eden is kind of funny. Eden, it means spot. And I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it, because I can't remember everything. I remember a lot, and I'm close to perfect. But there's sometimes I need help. I said close. Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, I can't even teach you what I need to teach you from God because you're carnal. He said, you can't even handle the teaching of God right now because you're still in your carnal ways. I say perfect, you go, ooh, perfection. I'm talking about maturity. I'm close to being mature. That is what perfection is in the Bible. Okay. God, I didn't know this was going to have any humor. So Eden, just so you understand the Hebrew and how the Hebrew writing is, girl, you're going to have to go, whew. Whew. These pregnant women get me so nervous, man, they put me on edge. You have them sitting there and all of a sudden they go, oh, and I'm going. I'm going to stand back on the third row. In Hebrew, the words are written in strokes. It's like Japanese and Chinese. It's written in strokes, and each stroke has a meaning. Well, Eden, one stroke means spot. One stroke means moment. Another word for the moment, or another way to paraphrase moment, was open door. Another stroke is presence. And another stroke is pleasant. So when we look at Eden, if you can handle this, there was a moment that God created a spot that caused an open door for His presence to be made manifest. This is why it's hard for me to believe that Eden is a place. With everything in me, I just believe that Eden was a realm of God's presence. And do your own studies on that. I'm not asking you to think like me. I'm just asking you to think. So I'm sitting and I'm watching Adam and Eve as they experience the manifest presence of God. Nothing they done caused God to come. Nothing they done set an atmosphere for God to be present. God created it. God set the moment. God predicted the spot, if you will. God opened the door. You got to remember, God will open doors that no man will shut, and will shut no doors that no man can open. God opens the door to His presence. Watch. Leviticus says this, but those who come near me must be regarded as holy. I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. When we're entering into God's presence, you can't, listen to this, if you don't hear nothing else, you cannot create God's presence. So stop trying. Church doesn't, we don't come to church to see God. I'm going to hurt you this morning. If you woke up this morning to come to church to see God, you're probably waking up to a disappointment, because if I've got to go to a church, we are limiting what we experience in our life by the traditions of man. We limit God. And we've got to learn that all we do and all that we can do is host, if you will, the presence of God. You can't manifest His presence. You can't create His presence. But if we are holy in our ways, clean hands, pure heart, that's what touches the mountain of God. If if we can have ourselves in a mindset, if you will, it doesn't necessarily have to be in our actions. Just because we're going to put a cigarette down, watch, doesn't make us holy. Because we are holy is causing us. We are just hosting God's presence. I want His manifest presence. What does that mean? I want to hear Him, see Him, smell Him, taste Him, feel Him. I want the manifest presence of God in my life. I want to know that without a doubt, God is there with me in a manifestation. God's presence is with sinners. Moses said the only way that we would be set apart would be the manifest presence of God. That's how we would be set apart. People would see the manifestation of God on Israel. They would be set apart. I watch Adam and Eve, and it shows that God came to them. Can I tell you something? If you have to make the phone call every time, or you have to send the text message every time, there's not much of a relationship. Somebody will catch it in a minute. If you're considering a friendship, you shouldn't have to be the one reaching out every time. Okay, let me help you in your marriage. If there always has to be one that apologizes, you can't tell me that one's that jacked up. I'm sorry, Jersey. Sometimes it's you too. Marriage is a give and take. When's the last time you went to the bank without making deposits looking to get a withdrawal? You've got to deposit to withdraw. And I'm sitting here and I'm watching Adam and Eve in this relationship with God, that God would come to them in the garden and walk with them. I'm watching a couple that have been designed by God's hand to host His presence. He came to them. And in church, we try to drum it up for Him. This is gonna make some people mad, probably. Because if the music was just right, we experience God in praise and worship. But let that song be the song you don't like. Let that one song be too long. Are we ever gonna get past this song that's been going for 15 minutes? There's angels going around the throne and have been forever and will be forevermore and singing, holy, holy, holy. At least some of these other songs, they got a little bit longer of a verse. You think they're bored? They're not bored. Why? Because their focus, their center of attention is God Himself, and God is multidimensional, and every time they make a slight movement around God, they see something different about God. And if you're not seeing God differently every day in your life, every circumstance, every decision, if you're not seeing something different about God, you're not looking at God, you're looking at everything around Him. Church has so much been designed to force the focus on man. I read something yesterday that just, this kind of stuff just tears my heart out, because the Bible warns us in the last days there will be a great falling away. And I don't know if you know or not, but there's yet been another general in God's army that has just recently fallen away. Robert Morris, a senior pastor of Gateway Church in Texas, has just recently stepped down because of because of sexual childhood. Tens of thousands. And listen, I'm not saying I stand here in perfection. I have my faults too. But because the church has set up this man to be so perfect and so holy, when he falls or she falls, the sheep scatter. This opens up opportunity for the wolves. Because see, believe it or not, not everybody in here, not everybody sitting beside you, not everybody that you welcome into the church is as strong in their faith as you are. Because some of you just think you're there, right? It's not that I have arrived. I just know this one thing. Forget those things that are behind me. I reach. So if you would go and sit within that congregation before all of this happened, man, you would be going, man, God's presence is so heavy, it's so thick. That's what scares me when people say, God, I want to see your glory. I want to experience your glory. You best know exactly what you're asking for. Because when his glory is made manifest, not only does it bring blessing and healing and prosperity, it brings death. It brings judgment. So if you want to tag along with some others holier than thou's, and oh God, we want to see your glory, and we want to, you better make sure that your hands are clean and your heart is pure. And can I tell you this? It will never be. The Bible says that the man's heart is utterly wicked. And the Bible says that there's not one good. Not one. We must be extremely cautious in what it is that we seek from God. I just want God's presence. I don't want his glory right now. I am in such an imperfected state right now. It would rattle me for the rest of my life if his glory was to appear. But his presence is something that he wants to freely give. I see that with Adam and Eve. God said, you know what? I'm going to create man. But before I create man, I want to set a place, a spot for them. The Bible said that he created Eve first. He created the garden. Then he put man. He said, it's here where you need to abide. It's here that you will receive and experience my manifested presence. It's here, not at church, not at one church, not at Southern Baptist Gospel, First Presbyterian Pentecost, whatever, on Main Street and First. He said, it's here. It's in the manifest, it's in my presence. This is where I want you to stay. This is where I want you to abide. I want you to be here. He created it and set us there. And somehow, some way, we have found a way to get outside of that. Maybe the fruit wasn't a fruit after all. Maybe the fruit was the ideology that there has to be something different. Never mind, I can't get into the teaching on it. I'm not going to go that far. God help me this morning. His presence. We think his presence brings happiness. In fact, his presence brings joy in Psalms. His presence brings joy. See, that's something you can't take from me. Unless I allow it. How many of you struggle with keeping your joy? How many of you struggle with people stealing your... Oh, I don't have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. That's why you won't go to the 4th of July barbecue, because Aunt Ellie's going to be there. Aunt Ellie has your joy. His presence brings rest. Man, the church is in such an unrest. The church struggles with resting. There is more demonic activity inside of churches that are being allowed and voted in than ever before. And churches are setting back and soaking. And they're calling that the presence of God. The pastor was really sweating this morning. Man, it's the presence of God. I sweat every morning. I think it's because I'm fat.
Amen.
Charlie, you need to escort him out. But we think if the music was just right, man, and the lights were just right, and it was the best songs, and man, that word was just... Can I tell you that when you leave and you go, man, the pastor just wasn't preaching this morning. It's because you was looking at the pastor.
Yeah.
You can only get out of God what you're willing to take. If you don't want to come to church and put anything into, how do you expect to get anything out of? If the favorite part, and I'm not saying this with condemnation, but if the favorite part of church is your praise and worship, if the favorite part of church is the word, if the favorite part of church is the duck donuts, man, it's like an Easter bunny. A duck donut and an Easter bunny. A duck don't have donuts. a bunny rabbit don't lay eggs? See how confused we... Boy, we are wanderers. We are wanderers. This is what hit me pretty heavy this morning. Ecclesiastes 10:1 talks about the fly and the ointment. And what that means in a simplified form is the fact of how the fly devalues. It's how the unwanted devalues. It's how what you bring. When you bring yourself to church, and I'm not talking about you coming to church, so don't stay home. When you bring yourself, you hear that word? Self to church. When it has to be all about me, I don't know why Pastor makes us stand up during praise and worship. Because if the President of the United States was, well, nah, should be. It should be. I'm going to slap you. If the President of the United States was to walk in here, you were to stand and honor him. I don't care if you don't like him or not. How you like me now? See, you think you've got this thing wrapped up, man. You think you've got it all under control. And every time that you think that, you're the fly in the ointment. Look, we've been talking about honor and dishonor and what you can get and what you repel. Keep dishonoring. Tell me how it works out for you. We come in with self. And we want it to be about us. Don't turn the music up, but so loud, David. Can we dim the lights a little bit, Sean? Matt, do you have to play those songs? Preacher, do you have to scream? Yep, because I'm a preacher. I'm scared you can go to sleep. So I wait for the right opportune time and I jump at you, don't I, Miss Pat? Get your attention. We come with self. God has set a place. If you can just gather this for a minute. God has set a place. He has set a spot. He has set a moment. The moment is the corporate gathering where two are gathered in His name. He is there in their midst. This is not the omnipresence. This is the manifest presence of God. And you come, you leave the same way that you come. You blame it on the preacher. You blame it on the activities, you blame it on praise and worship, you blame it because preacher don't preach enough about this or he preaches too much about that. You blame it on everything else except your... And you're wanting to experience the manifest presence of God. Can I tell you, you will always be outside of the realm and God will set angels at the gate with fiery swords to keep you out. Why? Because you're trying to bring fly... This ain't going to be good at all this morning. My God. I don't know about you. My heart yearns for something more. Maybe it's because I'm just ticked off at the enemy this morning. Got a phone call that Debbie had been taken down. Thank you, by the way. Debbie had been taken down. And Debbie is not the type that wants to tell everybody and their brother. So she gets my sister mad. Why don't you tell me? Because she don't want to tell nobody. She just gets somebody to discreetly remove her and take her to the ER. And I get a phone call while I'm riding. And we went from a pleasurable ride to click, click, wah! And then she says, I need you to bring my pills. And I went in. Now, I'm against me. I'm against medication. Don't stop taking medication because I said I'm against it. Work out your own. But she said, bring my pills. So I pop open this little, I didn't know a container could hold that many. I popped it and it kept going clink, 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 clink. And it fills my hand full of pills. I cursed every one of those pills all the way to the emergency room. Every one of them. She said, well, some of them supplements. I cursed them too. I cursed every one of them. Sometimes medications can be good for you. But I so much want to live in a manifested presence of God that my life has no dependency on anything outside of its realm. That all of my trust and all of my faith be in Him and Him alone. All of my health and all of my finances be in Him and Him alone. All of my relations, past, present, and future, be in Him and Him alone. That's the manifested presence that I want. I don't want you to alter my emotion. Oh, this is hard. This is good stuff right here. See, when you're able to set yourself and host the presence, the manifested presence of God, when you host that presence, self has to go. You know the only reason that you get angry or upset is because you. Oh, I love you. I'm going to give you a big holy hug. Dawn, it ain't got nothing to do with what you done to me. It's got everything to do about how I feel about what you done. You better listen. You better open your ears this morning. You walk around mad and ticked off at everybody, all because they didn't do what you wanted. Woo! Preach that one. Huh? Come on, husbands and wives, get over yourself. When you say, I do, that really it translates into kingdom version, I don't. I don't do anything for me, I do everything for you. Oh, follow the preacher. But no. Wait a minute, what do you mean you ain't? Our biggest argument in the house or in our home should be this. No, I don't want to do what I want to do today. I want to do what you want to do. No, I'm not going to do what you want to do. I want to do what you... That should be your biggest argument. Not that, well, last week, we done it your way. Follow me. Listen, I want you to abide and host, and I'm going to say this a million times this morning, the manifested presence of God. Are you tired yet? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired yet? I tell people all the time, until you're willing to change, you ain't sick enough. Until you're, here comes a Christian word for you. Until you're ready to repent, you ain't sick enough. Y'all think repent, God forgive me of my sins. He forgave them over 2,000 years ago when he hung at the cross and said, Father, forgive. What? This is his words, not mine. He said, hey, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And guess what? It was done. See, y'all don't understand. Y'all still having trouble with your salvation. Salvation was done on the cross. The acceptance of salvation is your response to what was done on the cross. Now you get to choose whether you want to live in your salvation or live outside of your, and here's the biggest thing, yourself. It's going to be a lot of people going to unfollow, unfriend. Don't look at your neighbor and just tell them, don't be the fly. Have you ever found yourself being the fly? Eye contact. Have you ever found yourself being the fly? You walk up in the church, you find your little seat. Hope they don't play that one song. or you walk in together. You walk in together and you look at your wife, she ain't my wife, but you look at your wife and your wife looks at the husband and you go, did you see what she had on? Or you walk in with your buddies that ride Harleys. And you say, and you go, man, did you see the Honda on the parking lot? Oh. Here, watch this. I was talking to another pastor that called me out of Ghana. Oh, it's been a few days ago. And we were just talking on the phone. He's coming back in July, and I've asked him if he'll come and speak again. But we're talking on the phone, and he said, "Man, hey, Pastor, how's everything going?" And I said, "Man," I said, "you just wouldn't understand." I said, "You would not believe." I said, "They finally caught on to the word growing a church," and I said, "Every woman in that house is drinking the water," and he went, "Oh no." I said, do yourself a favor. Don't drink the water that somebody gives you. Bring your own. But we're setting in. And see, sometimes we can get caught up in the enviness. Oh, can I minister just for a minute? Good. Sometimes we can get caught up in enviness. And we can look around and we can see everybody else. And they just, I mean, it looked like a bunch of tulips in the garden, didn't it? It was. How quick we could revert back and allow strife and envy. But instead, watch this. You'll know about the hand of grace here in just a minute. Instead, we look and we go, man, that's awesome. And we go grabbing other people's babies. Makes me jealous sometimes during church because you hold my grandson and I'm going, I want him. But we look at everybody and we go, man, you don't understand. We rejoice in the experience of God in others. And what happens? See, they don't know the whole story. I didn't really know the whole story either. I don't want to be too transparent because I can. She said it. Check this out. It's been 6 years.
6 years.
Yeah, 6 years since losing a child. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on, women. Listen. Fear sets in.
Yeah.
Just all the unpleasantries. And now you're being surrounded. Amen. Oh, look what God done. He took what was meant for evil
and turned it to good.
Instead of now you, birthing, you said, I'm going to rejoice. And will Lord have mercy, she drank the water. Living water.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I got a dude calling me going, hey, or texting me, dude, help. I said, what's up? I thought a brother in need. I was coming to him. I was going to help him. I said, what's up? He said, Sarah's pregnant. I said, so what do you want me to do?
Can't change it.
I can't do it. It seems like to me everything's fine. I can't do nothing. Watch the manifest presence of God. See, y'all can't get in this right now because you've not experienced this, but I'm telling you that the enemy will take circumstance in your life and put you in places that should cause you to become angry.
Yeah.
And God's manifest presence, and all you had to do was just be a host. All you had to do is just be a host. I'm with you, whether anybody else can get there or not. I was going to say something like I danced like David danced, but see, I know you, carnal thinking. You would have went straight to the fact. He's dancing naked. He wasn't naked. He was disrobed of his outer garments, which virtually was his nakedness, because royalty wasn't seen without being royalty. But because he chose to take off his royalty, just like Jesus chose, he chose to disrobe. He was a rabbi. Come on, church, y'all follow me for a minute. He was a rabbi, and he chose to disrobe himself and put on a towel. That's how he hosted the manifest presence of God. He removed himself. Yes, he did. He washed the guy's feet that was going to stick a knife in his back. Boy, if you knew that I was going to do something to you and you was required to do something for me first, knowing I was going to wrong you, don't tell me you would have got up and walked out of that room. You'd have probably walked by him and said, dude, your feet nasty, and went to the next one. Come on, church. This is how church is. This is why we don't feel and sense and see the manifested presence of God inside of corporate gatherings anymore. Because you've become so selfish, you enter in on your high horse. Okay. This is a place of serving. And that's what Debbie and I try to do as much as we possibly can, is serve you. Yeah. But when you come in with your arrogancy that you expect me to serve you, you've become the fly in the ointment. See, it was the fact that Peter, I still believe this was an open door moment for Peter. Oh, but you can't wash my feet. You can't wash. He wasn't expecting, because everybody else was, he wasn't expecting his feet to get washed. No, you can't wash. Let me wash. Sure. He said, no, this has got to be done. And if you don't let me wash your feet. Peter learned then what serving was. He learned what humility was. And that set him up for Peter on the day of Pentecost. You're going to give the inauguration of the Holy Spirit. Come on, the dude that's lopping people's ears off, the guy that's cussing at a fire pit, denying Christ three times. And Jesus said, I'm going to let you. Why do you think? Come on, he didn't choose him because he was that bold. He chose him because he was that humble. I don't know how else to explain this. When you walk in the manifest presence of God, I don't have to reach in my wallet. I can say, silver and gold have I none. But what I have. Y'all don't read the Bible? Give I thee, King James. Tell you, boy, look, that's what we was brought up on. That's what we cut our teeth on. We can quote a scripture. I just read it now and go, my head hurts, man. We used to, I'll leave it alone. But what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus. See, remember that teaching? Quit tagging your prayer with in Jesus' name just because it's a tag. Do you see what Peter did there? He turned it, didn't he? He didn't say, rise up and walk in Jesus' name, amen. He said, in the name of Jesus, in all the power and all the authority that was given to Christ, that has been given unto me. See, y'all don't want to hear that either. Jesus told, he commanded you that you go and lay hands on the sick. And he commanded you that you go and cast out demons. Come on, just get closer to the front of the bus. Everything that Jesus walked in, he give us the opportunity, the availability to walk in such power and authority as he. By and through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now we choose to put different significance on different ideologies. It's not even close to being theology. It's ideologies. We think now that the pastor's got to lay his hands on you so that you be filled with the Spirit. Well, I got news for you. Breaking news. Just in. Only Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. Scripture. Now, I'll touch and agree with you. Because that's scripture too. Girls, stop. Joe. Get your boy. He's up here rejoicing. All right. Am I losing you? Are you? My notes are kind of like this. I highlighted it. Oh, watch. I highlighted that bottom one because that's very important. We can't train the presence of God. This is why, and I'll take this to my grave, so all that is within hearing are witnesses. We'll never open a door for a church growth club. There won't be a consultant walking into my office and going, well, if you're at 75% capacity, you must build on, because people don't want to come in when your church is full. I got news for you. Excitement breeds excitement. And if we're in a church of love, which we are, you'll get out of your seat, let somebody else sit down. Well, won't that be a day when all the members are around the wall? All the men, and people coming in going, what's going on? What's going on? We've seen all the cars out front. Y'all come in and have a seat. We're good. Boy, y'all get tired when you stand up for praise and worship. But you expect me to stand up and preach and praise and worship and open and then stand with you for another hour or so outside of church. I'm tired, exhausted, ready to pass out. You go, hey, Pastor, one more thing. And I'm going, if there is one more thing. We can't train his presence. So I don't care. I mean, I don't like the music so loud sometimes. Now, when it's me, don't come up in here and tell me turn it down when it's just me, because I'm going to tell you to get out. Because I'm trying to take the paint off the wall when it's me. I think the dogs back there get excited. And don't complain to me about how cold or how hot it is, because it gets pretty hot sometimes up in here. If you go come in here, just get in the middle of it and be quiet. Take self out of it. Try to be a part of the manifested presence of God. See, look, I'm in a battle. I'm in warfare just like y'all. But I know where I am protected. It is in his manifested presence. Man, I want to start hearing reports, Charlie. And here again, yeah, I just put me in it, didn't I? This ain't for me, Rocky. But you know how much joy? No, it ain't joy, Rocky. It's happiness. You know how much happiness it brings to me to hear that people within the body of Christ are experiencing the manifested presence of God in their home and their relationships, their health, their finances. It excites me. It brings me a hope, Michelle, because I know that he don't favor you anymore. So I'm waiting. I'm kind of hanging out. I'm hoping somebody's going to come. Oh, Pastor, you won't believe, man. God just showed. He a boom, and I'm going to go, whoa, because I know it's coming. Yeah, I'm going to get closer. Might take you out to dinner and honor you, because there's something in you that God's got. Look. Won't he do it? Guys, listen, I want you to know what it's not a feeling in church, man. It's a life. See, if I just come here and this is the only place that I can be free and that I can be happy, guess what? I'm not free at all. We come in here, and I'm going to say 90% of you, set in here, even yet in here, in bondage. Because you worried about what they go say. You're worried about what she said. You're worried about, well, if I go to the altar again this week to try to get prayer, they're going to look at me and go, well, wasn't he up there the last seven times? Yeah, and you probably should have beat him eight times before that. We are so worried and concerned about other people more than we are the manifested presence of God that we have become stagnant. You stink. We got quiet right there. A couple of you checked. Nah, I took a shower. You stink. Because your emphasis is on what everybody else feels about you and thinks about you more than you look good on him. More than, I said you look good on him. Look, it's just as hard for a daddy. Whatever, I don't care. We'll just go ride Harley to be happy. Can I close? Are you okay if I close? Well, let's stand. Just that one song. Oh, I know it hurts, don't it? Hurts to stand up. Stand up in the manifested presence of God. Don't have no babies yet. Do we have any nurses in the house? Oh, we've got a nurse. Oh, we're good. Shoot. Just don't use my office. The office right next door would be appropriate. Do me a favor today. When you go home and when you leave here, would you let this stir in you? Would you allow yourself to meditate on the manifested presence of God today? Just allow yourself to meditate on that. Don't stop. Listen, I'm preaching to the choir, so I'm going to turn my back to you because I'm preaching to me too. Don't worry about everything else that's going on in life. Because in his manifested presence, you are protected. In his manifested presence, you are healed. In his manifested presence, you are at peace. In his manifested presence, you find comfort. You find joy. Meditate on this, just like David. Get it from head knowledge to heart knowledge. That's what meditation is. It's to take what you have learned and bring it to your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So now you're speaking life, not death. Be careful to guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. If you can get what you know in your head from head knowledge and meditate on it and push it into your heart, I promise you, your life will turn around. Now, I'm not going to tell you, is it going to be 100%? You're never going to go through the fire? Nope. Ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They still went to the fire, but they kept their faith. Not that God took them out of the fire, but God took them through the fire. So you're going to experience some things in life, but if you have a manifested presence of God, church, y'all better get a hold of this. Stop playing church. Stop coming to church empty and leaving empty. Stop coming here and looking at the preacher preaching and start looking for God in your life. Start looking for God, because every time I open and crack this Bible, he's speaking. And my prayer is that every time I get up to speak, that he takes my tongue and it be the pen of a ready writer. And that what I speak will be pleasing and edifying to not only him, but to his body, so that you grow and mature, that you come to a place to where nothing will shake you. We're going to do this one song. Can you give him 7 minutes and 17 seconds? Is that asking too much? Okay. Thank goodness. God, we got them that far. We got them that far. So let's do that. Father, God, I ask that your Spirit just jolt our inner man. God, that you would bring us back to a place to where we begin understanding that being in your presence is a gift that was created and orchestrated and set in place by you. And you invited us in. Matter of fact, you loved us so much, you placed us there. And you said, listen, everything that edifies you, everything that keeps you, everything that causes life to abound in you, you get it from here. Don't go outside of here. Stay here. This is where I want you. This is where you need to be to sustain life.